As we come once again to share this word again, we remember, we acknowledge the fact that in ourselves and of ourselves, we cannot deliver or receive this wonderful word except you help us. So we come to ask for fresh mercy. In particular, I strip myself totally, completely, of every confidence I may have in my preparation, in all that I know alone. My confidence, Lord, is in your mercies poured out abundantly upon me, Lord, to use what I prepare, to use what I know, to bring forth this word accurately, in power, in clarity, yet in the simplicity and the love of your Spirit, Lord, that an eternal, internal work wrought in the hearts and lives of all those who hear it, myself included, and all those who hear it all over the world, let your life, your power, the power of your Spirit, back these words wherever they be heard in all the earth, so that, Lord God, men will be made not just hearers, but doers of the things which they hear, and therefore be blessed in all that they do, in Jesus' name. And I shall help you to be precise, to be concise, so I will not say anything unnecessary, that you cause, Lord, a free flow of your word from you through me to the people. Make me an untainted chalice, O Lord, so as I speak, I will speak as an oracle of God, writing your will and your word upon the hearts of your people in the name of Jesus. As I speak, Lord, let your power and your presence fill the air, to break every yoke, to meet every need, to cause our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, to cause our wills, Lord, to be more humble and therefore submitted to your will, and our emotions to be controlled and tempered even more by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, especially love, in the name of Jesus. I further ask, Lord God, for mercy to be a faithful steward. I duck under, by your mercies, I duck under the anointings, the mantles of my fathers in the house, and I shall put upon me their mantles, and I will speak this word forth, even as they would were they here personally. As I speak, rivers of living water will go forth to bring refreshing unto all, but especially to them, so as they eat and drink of this vine which they have planted, will we truly be satisfied and be satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you, because you are faithful, who has promised you will do more than we can ask and think. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Parents see the travail of their souls in you, and they are satisfied. Then you know that God has helped you. Amen. Well, I bring a word today, which is a word in season. It's a word that came to me as a result. Well, that's where it started, but it's been in my heart for quite a long time, and I've been just thinking about it. There was a particular email. The pastor always sends us emails and things that he wants us to see, and one of these emails came, and it was from a certain pastor. I forget the name. I think it's something Bill Johnson, and he talked about overt and covert ministry, and he spoke about these two kinds of ministry, saying that in his particular church, they have this ministry of going out and doing healings and deliverances and all that stuff, you know, and he encourages them to do that, and so everybody goes out and have. And they also have another ministry which is called covert, which is like hidden ministry, and that's where you get covering from. Amen. A ministry which he likened to advocacy. He said it was advocacy. What he said was it was storming the systems of the city. And I thought to myself, well, that's great, that's fantastic, that's good. He didn't specifically mention prayer, but because he spoke about kingdom, you know, mindedness, it began to just grow in me. And I've been thinking about it. Pastor Leo preached his message on, you know, Joseph preparing a place of rest, you know, and practically all the messages have been coming since have added something or the other. And so it's with this background, and I'll bring this word that I believe the Lord gave me. I've titled it, John Did No Miracle. Amen. Thank you for that song about miracles. Amen. That's one thing we're all looking forward to. Amen. So it might seem like a bit of a paradox that I bring a message that says John did no miracle. But as we see as we go on, he actually did do a miracle, but he just didn't do anyone outwardly. And there was a reason for that. But let's go. Now, so this is, I believe, the message which the Lord gave to me. It's not for Scripture Pastor Christian Center alone, because by the grace of God, I believe most of us, we're always having new people all the time. So, you know, even when we say this, we know sometimes there are people that are new, or More importantly, the people that are listening on the internet who will benefit from such a message as this. Thank God, because in this house, by the grace of God, we've been well taught and we understand many of the things I'm going to say. They're not going to be new, but it will just put us in remembrance of the things that God holds dear as opposed to things that men hold dear. Amen. Okay, so as I said, it's a message for, I believe, the church at large, if the Lord will please allow it to go. And so, It has to do with a contention that the Lord Jesus had during his time in ministry here on earth, which same thing we see is being reproduced in the earth. He always had a contention with the leadership of the religious order at that time, because they were always asking for signs and wonders and miracles. Amen? Is that reminiscent of today? Is that reminiscent of today or not? We're going to start from Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Matthew 12:38. And in this season when we're expecting the manifestation of great miracles and signs and wonders, I believe the Lord would have us bring this word just to keep us in focus of what exactly it is that he holds most dear. He holds much more important, even though miracles and signs and wonders are very, 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 very important. Amen. We'll see in a minute. But that there are other things that God holds more important, or God esteems greater, let me put it that way. Okay, now, Matthew chapter 12, 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees, it's always the scribes and the Pharisees, they know all things. Amen. Asked and said, Master, we will see a sign from thee. Does that sound familiar? Next verse. And Jesus replied them. But he being the Lord Jesus, but he answered and said unto them, and this is the real word, this is the crux of the message. He said, an evil and adulterous generation does what? Seeketh after a sign, and shall be no sign given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. We know what that means. But the essence is this. Lord was warning against seeking against miracles and signs and wonders and power alone. He wants them to see that. But there's a reason for the miracles, signs, and wonders. It's not just to make everybody happy. Ah, sorry, sign today. Okay, we believe. He says something to somebody. He says, except you see signs, you will not believe. Which is an indictment. Amen? It's an indictment. And this is the root of the problem. This was the leadership. These are the scribes and Pharisees. But the same thing, and this is where the problem really was, the same thing now percolated from the leadership into the population, the people that were under them. Give me John 6:30. John 6:30, please. Hello, somebody. John chapter 6, verse 30. Now, this, though of course, those who know their scriptures will understand and know that this is the place where the Lord Jesus fed them with bread and fish. And then he went to the opposite side, and then when they woke up, the bread and fish had digested. So they got shipping, and they crossed over to the other side. And they said, oh, Master, when did you come here? Huh? I said, you seek me not because, you heard the word, because you ate bread and because you saw the miracles, because you ate the bread and fish, and you come for more. Amen? But here, look what he said. They therefore, after all that stuff that he did, can you imagine? Jesus fed them with bread and fish. And then they asked him for signs and wonder. Can you look at it? It says, therefore, they said unto him, what sign show? They have eaten, they have forgotten. What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? What does that work? The man just fed them bread and fish. 5,000. And asking him, what sign shall we show? Can you see that? Their orientation was completely and totally wrong. Sign seeking. As I said, adulterous, sign-seeking generation. But the problem is that it came from the leadership who were only believing what they could see and not what God was saying. Not the word or the wisdom of the word. We'll get to that later. And the same is true today in the church. Papa Kelly said it. It says, we're in this church today is an entertainment base. Just entertain. Let's see things happening. You know, man-centered, needs-oriented, adulterous. Somebody just came to me, Pastor Shibali was saying Jehovah Nissi instead of Jehovah Nissi. No more Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Sharp Sharp, now. Hello, somebody? Of course, we've never heard of that before. And don't let us think we are not guilty. Be careful. And let me ask you a question. This is just a question, but I trust the Lord answer. You don't have to put your behind. If I were to ask anybody here, everybody here, before I say what I said, maybe I should have started there, but assume I hadn't said what I've said so far. And I was to ask everybody here, which would you prefer? Is it the overt ministry of signs and miracles and wonders, or the covert one that you do in the closet? Now, don't tell me what you would have asked, what you would have preferred, but I can almost say what you're going to prefer. I mean, come now. The jiggy things are happening. Now, there's nothing wrong with miracles. There's nothing wrong with overt manifestation of power. There's nothing wrong, but it has to be done with the right heart. The right heart of submission, the right heart of seeking God first. Miracles are advertising for the gospel. But for every advertising, it doesn't point to the person, it points to the product. The product is seeking to promote. Jesus always did that. He said, I don't do the miracles myself. The miracles I do testify that the Father is in me. So he wasn't just doing it for his own self-aggrandizement like many of the church are doing it. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I can tell you for certainty that the season has changed. Pentecost is, well, there should be Pentecost, but for the majority of the church, all those Pentecostals, anointing, all that thing is being channeled into tabernacles now. So if you are seeing where they're doing shiki, everything's going, and all these miracles and signs and wonders are taking place. Pastor, give us one example. Yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself. Where they cordon off the whole of, like somebody cordon off this whole place. Anybody that comes in is blessed and gets the miracle, and it happens. You have to ask, who is doing it? Yeah, Pastor, thank you, Pastor. Pastor, I say, don't care who's doing it. As long as it happens. Which is true. But the essence is that the advertising is to draw attention to the Father that was in the Son. And in this dispensation of the manifestation of glory, the miracles we will do miracles greater than Jesus did, he said. But our miracles will advertise and draw attention to the Christ that is in us, the sons that are doing the miracles, not to the sons. That's not the purpose. Like I wrote here, in this feast there will be no manifestation of God's power without first an internalization of God. Amen. But at the moment, most churches, most people, most saints, because they have not seen true power yet, you see, they're looking for the glory of outward miracles, signs and wonders. And it is those men of God who can deliver that the whole of the earth is flocking to, the whole of the church. Now the whole church is flocking to them. But that day, folks, that game is over. They don't care where the power comes from. And the Bible says many false prophets shall arise. And, you know, the thing about this is that the Bible says, you know, that there'll be many, this day there's going to be many lying signs and wonders that will deceive, if possible, even the very elect. Hello, somebody. The disciples, too. They give me John, is it John? No, sorry. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. When the Lord Jesus anointed the 70, they went out with joy, great joy. They did all these miracles and they came back. And they began to rejoice before the Lord. Look what the Lord did. He rebuked them. He said, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us. We dealt with those devils who are Jesus. And they did. Next verse. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan's lightning fall from heaven. Yes, he did good. Behold, I give you power and nothing shall ever. Next verse 20 is where I'm going, I believe. Said, now, this is what he said. This is the proviso he put. He said, all those miracles are good. Very well done. Everything's good. It's in order, notwithstanding. In this, not rejoice. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you. Don't rejoice in the fact that when you cast out spirits, ha, man, mighty, you will do it. But that's not where God is. Do you understand? I don't know if I'm getting across. Everybody's looking at me a little funny. You're going to do miracles. Tell everybody you're going to do miracles. But the miracles for miracles alone is not the heart of God. There's a purpose behind it. It says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven, or that you are in the kingdom of heaven. Some may say that was then, this is now. It's a different thing. How many remember the healing revival? The healing revival of the early 50s. Pastor talked about it the other time. Mighty manifestations, mighty demonstrations. Pastor gave the example of Richard Branham. I remember Richard Branham. Sorry, that's a Richard. William Branham, forgive me. You know, power was poured out, mighty deeds, mighty signs and wonders. But what happened? They began to misuse it eventually. The power began to be misused in the wrong way. Miracles just for miracles' sake, just doing it. And, you know, for some time it worked. See, like Pastor was saying, those miracles, those manifestations of great faith were to show the church that that faith is now to be used to perfect the character of Christ so that the true miracles, you see, in those days it was giftings from above. But now God wants to put that thing inside you as an inheritance. Big difference. But they went haywire. And you know what happened? You know, the thing petered out because the vessels were not prepared. They followed after gifts and not the person. Now, the Lord showed me something that in this kind of hidden ministry, we've been talking about overt ministry. Now let's talk about covert ministry. In this ministry, there's an underlying principle that God wants to bring out. And it's very simple. When the Lord told me, and the things of God are so simple, when he told me, I said, I've never seen it like this before. Give me Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. It's amazing how simple God is. The things of God can be. If he opens your eyes to see. Now listen, we know this is talking about almsgiving. But look at the principle. It says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy closed ministry. What are you doing? You shut the door. You're praying to him. It's you and him. You and his spirit. We sing that song. Speak to me gently, his Holy Spirit. Speak to me gently as I now close the door. Heavenly Father, let thy presence come. Shekinah, unending, is all I long for. Hey, the Shekinah in that closed door, when it downloads upon you, when you step out, you'll be clothed in that glory. That's why when Moses went up to the mountain, the glory that was there, he came down with it. But he had to go up and be in the presence of God. Say, shut your door and pray to your Father in secret, and thy Father which seeth in public. For the Father to see, it has to be in secret. See in secret, you and him. In a love relationship. That's what I'm having some saying this day. Many shall come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not do many wonderful works? Did we not prophesy? I said, depart from me. I never knew you. I didn't see you in the closet. Workers of iniquity. A sign-seeking, adulterous, miracle-seeking generation. Say, your Father will see this in the shall reward thee what? Openly. The principle is the principle. Overt power manifested to men in this tabernacle dispensation must be preceded by secret personal ministry to God. We know this in this house. So we're just saying things we know, but like I said, you know, this is to the church at large mainly. Personal ministry to God comes first. Preparing the vessel for the treasures of the Spirit without measure. Incredible photographic memory, you all know it. Language learning ability, incredible artistic ability, incredible mathematical ability, incredible musical ability. You need to read pastor's measure, seeking the spirit without measure. All right, so it's all there. And all this in addition to the miracles of healing and signs and wonders, amen. And like I said, this is not a gifting that comes from above. In the Pentecost, it was giftings from above. In the Old Testament, it was giftings of mercy that enabled them to do all those mighty miracles, amen. But in this one, the gift is inside you. It's an inheritance. It is yours. Christ, thank you, Pastor David. Christ in you, not Christ upon you. In you. It's an inheritance unlike ever before. The hope of glory. No, it's not baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not giftings on the outside that come and lift. Amen? Help me, Lord. And, you know, it's so interesting. You know, God brought back this scripture in Psalm 68, verse 18. He said, that gifting said, that Pentecostal gifting was something that you just use to show that he's with them. And the Bible says he even gave those gifts to the rebellious sometimes. Can you imagine following a gifting on a rebellious leader? And you think that he's a man of God. But God said he did it not because he deserved it. It's not, see, giftings are never a sign of God's approval. God made a donkey speak. So if you are looking for gifts of power of the Spirit, you know, you go to places, everything must be shaking. You must be moving. There must be thunder and lightning. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Then I heard of myself again. Thunder and lightning. There must be, thank you, Pastor Wally. Pastor Wally picked it. There must be lightnings and earthquakes. There must be wind and fire. The Bible says Isaiah looked for God in the wind and the earthquake and the fire. He wasn't there. Where was he? In the still, small voice. Now, who made the lightning? God. Who made the fire? Who made the earthquake? But he wasn't in there. He was in the still, small voice, which those things would have obscured unless Isaiah humbled himself to hear that still small voice. I missed God completely. And he was used to all that thunder, fire. Oh, why am I getting ahead of myself? Anyway, let me get to where I'm going. What are we saying? This is what I believe the Lord is saying. The hunger for miracles, signs, and power in the church today has given birth to a leadership. First of all, the leadership. Because as the leaders are, the people will follow. First of all, leadership that is enamored, that loves this wonderful, this, not wonder, this mighty miracle, mighty man of God syndrome. You know, you must do miracles, you must do. And you know, like I said earlier, the power is no longer there. And yet they're still demonstrating these mighty miracles. So you must ask who is giving the power. Who is supplying the miracles? Amen. Adulterous, sign-seeking generation. Babylon. Like Saul went to the witch at Endor when he couldn't hear God anymore. Looking for power, for miracles and prosperity to satisfy an army of strange children. Strange, sign-seeking, adulterous children who seek to become exactly like their leadership. Folks, the game is over. Bible says God is coming to his temple suddenly. And he will purify. Say, who can stand in that day? Say, we purify the sons of Levi as silver and gold. The word we spoke this morning says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd. The shepherd is the problem. And against the shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. Said, two-thirds shall be cut off and die. And then he will turn the hands and refine the young ones. Amen? Folks, this is the way, this is the day in which we are in now. So, we are not to follow and seek after manifestations of power alone. Again, I reiterate, power, miracles, signs, and wonders are coming. And you will do them. Tell you, maybe you're going to do miracles, you know. And you're going to do greater miracles. But there's a way. You have to follow the vessels that have the good treasure of divine tact, of humility. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit exemplified, like Pastor was saying concerning Joseph, by the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's what we follow. Hello, somebody. And it's divine wisdom that will develop, that will deliver the world in this day. We're in a very dark age. I was sharing with Pastor Ali the other day. Was it Pastor Ali sharing with me? I can't remember. He was talking from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, I believe. Give me Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. Isaiah 60, this is chapter 6. 6-0, please. Isaiah 6-0. Are we walking together? Isaiah 6-0. Thank you. It says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Now, which is greater? Is it darkness or gross darkness? So, gross darkness is on the people, and then darkness is on the earth. So where is the darkness on the earth coming from? From the people. It's a gradient. It's a gradient. The gross darkness is on the people, in the hearts of the people. And because of the darkness of the heart, that says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And that is what is called the product of gross darkness in the hearts of men that makes their deeds evil is what is bringing darkness on the earth. Bible says their foolish hearts became darkened because they chose not to acknowledge God. Oh, mercy, Lord. Lord, have mercy. But this is it, folks. Now, we go to John the Baptist. Say, John did no miracle. I want to use John Baptist as an illustration for this we've been talking about. John the Baptist was a very, very, very important critical juncture in the scripture. And the Bible tells him, by fact, calls him the greatest man of all time until that time. That's no mean statement. Amen? Let's. It might sound very interesting. You know, he said, but Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, does not flatter. How many of you know the Lord Jesus doesn't flatter? How many of you know the Lord Jesus always speaks the truth? How many of you know the Lord Jesus does not like to exaggerate? Look what he said about this wonderful man called John the Baptist. Give me Matthew 11:11. We trust to learn something about him. Matthew 11:11. Help me, Lord. Are we following together? All right. Talking about John did no miracle. Verily I say unto you, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. But let me set the background. The Lord Jesus had been in ministry for some time, and John the Baptist was locked up in prison. He should not have been there. He should not have been there. He missed God by a mile. We'll talk about that in a while. But the essence is, you know, so he now sent a couple of disciples to the Lord Jesus, and I said, art thou he? It's amazing how people can lose focus. He missed it completely. He's the same one that said, behold the Lamb of God. He must increase, I must decrease. Same person that says, who art thou whom we seek, or look we for another? We need to be careful, Lord. We need to be very, very careful. That's why those things are written for admonition. But here are, they said, they come to him, and the Lord Jesus Christ, well, go and tell John again, which I've told him before, he knows already, but tell him again, you know, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are healed, and blessed he that shall not be offended in me. John, you're offended. But here he's now speaking. Really, what he was doing was eulogizing him, because maybe the Spirit had perceived that somewhere along the line, John was not going to be no more. But look what he said. Matthew 11:11 says, verily, I say unto you, now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, so we know it is fact. That's why I said, verily. In other words, you're not going to believe this, but I'm telling you so. Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Stop there for a minute. What is he saying? Out of all the women born up until that time that he was speaking, the greatest person on earth that had ever lived was John the Baptist. And John did no miracle. We need to be careful, folks. What God thinks is good is not what... It's different, though. He's greater than Moses. Greater than Elijah. Greater than Elisha. All the prophets. But look what he says. Now, this is the juncture that John should have crossed over to, but he missed. He said, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The dominion of Christ and the mind, will, emotions, and flesh, who is in perfection and fullness as he was. He that is least in that kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Because to him will be added all the miracles, all the signs, all the wonders that the Lord Jesus Christ did, and greater. But look at the testimony he gave concerning the Baptist, the greatest man that ever lived, and yet he did not do a single miracle. Public. Let me put that provision there. Let's read on. We'll come back to that later. Says, he that is great, least in the kingdom is heaven, than greater, that is greater than he. He that is in perfection and fullness of Christ, the dominion of Christ is greater than he. Now, verse 12, read on. Oh, help me, Lord. Said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Give me this in the NIV. We'll see what he's actually saying. Help me, Lord. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, check it out, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. In other words, before John the Baptist, it was advancing, but not forcefully. So the coming of John the Baptist, he did no miracle, was to forcefully advance the kingdom. And yet John did no miracle. Are you getting what I'm saying now? We're trying to show you that, look, this sign-seeking generation. Mercy, Lord. Now, so the kingdom, it says, and forceful men lay hold of it. How do forceful men lay hold of the kingdom? Give me this verse 12 in the Amplified. It shows you exactly. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom has endured violent assault, violent seizing by force. How? as a precious price, a share in the heavenly kingdom. Now, he's giving you the crown jewel of how to get the kingdom. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. What was JTB doing in the desert? Ardent zeal, intense exertion to forcefully advance the kingdom. Remember, the kingdom of God is the dominion of God of the minds, the will, and the emotions. A turning of hearts. He's talking about travail. Travail to cast down imaginations, to pull down strongholds, to bring into captivity every thought. We didn't just learn it when we came here. That was what he was doing. That was what he was. That was JTB's ministry. What was his ministry? Give me Luke chapter 1. Oh, help me, Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 14. Are we getting something out of this? We're talking about John did no miracle. The greatest prophet of all time. The greatest man unto the Lord Jesus did no miracle. John the Baptist. Luke 1, 14, 17. Quickly. Help me, Lord. Now, this is a testimony that the Lord, his father, you know, gave concerning John the Baptist, all right? And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice in his birth. This is the angel speaking to John's father. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to stop here for a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. But you know, John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus had exactly the same upbringing. Their ministries parallel. Hello, somebody. He was filled from the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. The Lord Jesus had the Holy Spirit right from the womb. When the Lord Jesus, John the Baptist heard the voice of the mother of Jesus while he was in the womb, that infant of the Holy Ghost triggered something in the baby. The baby leapt. There was a resonance. They were brethren. I'm getting ahead of myself again. But John the Baptist was the one God was supposed to hand the baton to. Mature prophet. Instead of handing it to an immature bunch of disciples. They did the job. Yeah, God helped them. God helped them. But that was not the plan. Filled with the Holy Spirit. He was a Nazarene. On the Baptist. He was hidden in the desert. Just like the Lord Jesus was hidden in Nazareth. Quiet years. Covert ministry. No outward manifestation. Except maybe once in a while he would speak a word and it would come to pass. Their diet was the same. Pastor, do you say that with me? Locusts and wild honey for John the Baptist. Butter and milk for Lord Jesus. Fasted life. Temperate in all things. A constricted life in the desert. An ascetic, constricted life. The Bible says the way to life is narrow and constricted. Few there be that find it. Are we getting something out of this? And they both preach the same message. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The same thing John the Baptist says, what the Lord Jesus said. But now he now added, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, you know that the kingdom of God is no longer at hand, but is upon you. In fact, I'm getting ahead of myself again. John the Baptist was to come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. The spirit of Elijah was to change the hearts of men. What did Elijah do? He fought with the prophet on Mount Carmel. Do we know that? 1 Kings chapter 18, I think. He fought with the prophets of Baal and Carmel and defeated them. What did he say when he fought them? He said, Lord, turn the heart. Let your people know that you have turned their hearts. That was the first time anything happened. He brought down, of course, we all know that he stopped, you know, the rain from raining for about 3 years. And when he did that, he said, according to my word, God said, come out. You are not ready yet. Took him to a place and sat him down. Sequestered him first at the book of Kerith. Papa Rao preached it. Put him in the book of Kerith. The Bible talks that's a place of cutting. God was cutting off all of his excesses. God did give him a word. He said, according to my word, there will be no rain. God backed him up. Oh. God said, you haven't finished. Come. Oh, yeah. Kerith. Kya. And I will feed you. A place called there. The only thing he was eating was what God gave him. Same thing as locusts and wild honey. 3 years. 3 is the number of perfection. And he comes out. He says, go and call Ahab. I'm ready now. And you know what he said when he brought that judgment? He said, let them know that I have done this according to thy word. Not my word alone. A place of, what I'm talking about, covert ministry. That's the spirit of Elijah. That was the spirit of Elijah. So he's going to tell, listen, now, and he said, go before him, the spirit of power of Elijah, to turn the hearts, thank you, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is John the Baptist. There's been a John the Baptist ministry in the earth for years now that is doing exactly this. And this is, this is the foundation, the root of everything that God is going to bring forth in this season of miracles. Folks, if you don't submit to this ministry and have the hearts turned, first of all, the hearts of the fathers turned to children and children. Pastor preached a message many years, I think it was about 4 years ago, 5 years, something like that. Go get it. It's called the wisdom of the just. The wisdom that God uses to prepare us for the manifestation of the glory. It's in covert, a place of covert ministry. It's not an outward thing. That's what God is doing here by the grace and mercy of God. Building up a people, making us prepare for the Lord. Now he's putting finishing touches. That wisdom of the just is critical. Because, Lord, it is wisdom that is going to deliver this world. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. I've taken my punch. But anyway, no, it doesn't matter. So this is it. And as I said, John, the plan of God was for John to join after this time of sequestering, after this time when he was revealed, and when he, by the help of the Holy Spirit, baptized and revealed the Christ. Pastor told us, and it's true, he was supposed to have joined. But you know what happens? You see, it's that problem again. It's called pride. Same thing with Elijah. Elijah said, I'm the only prophet left. Is that the first time God didn't answer him? The next time he said, God said, you're checking out, yeah? Anoint your successor, anoint Hazel, you're going. That thing was beginning to take over. How can you say in the whole of Israel, you're the only prophet? You only call Loku. But that's presumptuous. That's pride. Same with John the Baptist. You know the whole of Israel was coming to him? The Pharisees, the scribes, the soldiers, everybody went to John. Bible says, thank you, by and through, to be baptized of him. And even Jesus came. Even the Lord came. So the guy was in a place of power. He was in a place of preeminence. He was a great man of God that everybody looked to. And then all of a sudden, God rains on his parade and sends the Messiah. He identifies the Messiah. Well, he didn't have a choice because that was why he was baptizing. Says, behold the Lamb of God. And he said, I don't understand that. We need to be careful, folks. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. But he kept on doing his ministry. He was used to it. It was pride. Why should I give up my ministry? Barbara Romini. He's my younger brother now. Jesus. He's the Lamb of God. Okay, all right. I thought who should come and we look for another. We know the story. May the Lord have mercy on us. But his main job was to turn the hearts to repentance and to the wisdom of the just. John was the greatest prophet in all the earth because he achieved the greatest miracle of all. The greatest miracle of all is not the ziggy, 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 all the power. Thank God for that. That's great miracle. There's mighty deeds. But of course, mighty deeds, mighty sons. Yes, we'll do that. Make no mistake, but the greatest miracle is the miracle of the change in the hearts of the sons of men. And that's where the battle is, folks, in this end time. All these people you see going around killing people. What is the problem? I was listening to the TV one day. We're talking about one fellow in this Paris, thank God for his mercy. This Paris attack, he said, they don't know what happened to the boy. He was just a regular fellow. He was nice. He was polite. All his teachers liked him. And then the next thing, the guy was gone. And the next thing, he was back. He was a radical. What happened? The devil got a hold of him. There was no competing thought, ideology, no competing power in his heart that was pushing back the darkness. So his whole heart became completely dark. Bible says, when the light inside thee becomes darkness, then that darkness is great. That's gross darkness. Every everybody has a modicum of light. Even the unbeliever, there's a light. So God has shown it to them. So there's a sense of God in everybody. But when there is nothing to sustain it and to increase it, so that it overcomes the power that is coming from the prince of the power of the air, then it will succumb. And there's only one way to reverse it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's why John the Baptist was the greatest. And that's what you and I are learning to be. It is on top of all that. And let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus was doing the same thing too. It's just that he didn't say it. But for him and it's just too coincidental. There's nothing like coincidence in God. For him to be growing up in parallel with John the Baptist, God shows us John the Baptist, but doesn't show us Jesus. Much of Jesus anyway. Just shows us when he went to the temple, I began to do his father's business. But all those years were silent years. But in the same vein, he shows us what John the Baptist was doing in the meantime. And then he brings them together. He said, what he was doing is what he's doing. All the difference is that he is perfect. He is sinless. If John the Baptist had cottoned on to what God was doing, he would have followed Jesus. And in a short while, he would have entered perfection. Because he was already mature. Like Apostle Paul said, let us who are perfect, be thus minded. Said, though I am perfect, I press on. Said, there were two perfections in Philippians chapter 3. There was a perfection of maturity, then there was a perfection of the fullness of Christ, the cleansing of the sin nature out. John was pure, was mature, but is not pure. The Lord Jesus Christ was mature and pure. So it would just have been a matter of time. This thing goes far. Then he would have been able to shepherd those disciples. That would give, instead of them having to develop and grow, make all their mistakes, and then maybe the anointing would not have petered out after 100 years. Big time. But God still did it anyway. So, with the wisdom of the just, we talk about that. The wisdom of God that prepares our hearts and vessels to become worthy to receive and then inherit first the borrowed anointing and the spirit without measure. And I said, ultimately the battle is a battle against gross darkness in the hearts of people. Now, all this is important. Why? Because ultimately, in this day and hour, and the Lord Jesus showed me this, said that the battle in this day is a battle of the revelation of God's wisdom as opposed to the wisdom of the powers of darkness. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Are we following? 3:10. What is this? Okay, let's back up one verse, see what happens. Yes. Now, this is what God is doing this hour. This is what he intends to do. That's why he's going to give you the power. He's going to give you the wisdom. Amen. It says to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What is the mystery? The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay. Which from the beginning of the world created all things by Christ Jesus. Now, let's go to verse 10. To the intent. This is the purpose of the mystery. This is the purpose of your being in a closeted place to develop the character of Christ before you now manifest. This is the purpose. To the intent that now. When? Unto. Now. The principalities and powers. Not here on earth. Not here on earth. The powers that be are the powers above us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against wicked spirits in the heavenly places, the prince of the power of the air, that now unto principalities in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold power of God, the manifold miracles of God, the manifold wisdom. Now it says, wisdom is a principle of you. So, help the Lord, help the Lord, help the Lord. Why is wisdom important? Wisdom is a principal part of love. Hello? Pastor taught us. Said love has three components. Wisdom to discern. Cunning to desire. And then the power follows wisdom and compassion. So if you grow the love of God and perfect the love of God in your life by the blood, the word, and by the spirit, in a place where you are closeted under covering, it must be there. The Bible says, Pastor Bola and the new Rhema says, where they are united in love, that's where all the treasures of God. Give me that. It's in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. In the Amplified, I think. Pastor quoted it the other day. And I just pounced upon it. Isn't it the latest Rhema? Colossians. Next verse, 2. Next verse, 2. No, is it Colossians? Where it says, all the hidden treasures of God. In him I hid all the treasures of wisdom. Yeah. Okay, this is it. I think there was a particular translation. Yes. Back up one verse. 1:2. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. There's a place when your heart and you're in one heart and united in the love of Christ. And it is in that place that you will now get the full riches of complete understanding, so that we may know the mystery of God, namely Christ in you, the hope of glory. Next verse. Christ in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, that will be manifest and demonstrated to principalities and powers to deliver the world system. Now, when you see this, you see that the only place you can get this is a place where there's unity and where the love of God is being perfected under covering. That's why you're here, folks. That's why I am here, folks. That's why the nations of the earth will be delivered in this day, because God has a people like him. Not only us, but the other Zion churches. But the essence is wisdom and knowledge are going to be used to deliver. Now, I'm going to tell a story this day that we probably read before, and I'll close on this story. Help me, Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 14. I think we've read it before. I think I preached before this. Now, let's read this. We're going to read it overtly, and then we're going to read it prophetically. There was a little city, and few men within it. There are little cities, there are big cities, but a city is city. This little city is a church. The Bible says, you know, it is the Father's, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Mount Zion, the city of the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Dew. A little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Next verse. Now, there was found in it, where's it? The city. The little city. A poor wise man, and he, by his power, by his wisdom did what? Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Next verse, let's read it first. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength or power or miracles or wonders or all the giz-giz and shaking shit. Wisdom is good. I mean, power is good, but wisdom is better. You don't believe me? See, that's what I'm saying. You know, people are, how can wisdom be better than jiggy-jiggy-jiggy? Ah, go past Red Sea. Ah, wisdom care. That's the human mind thinking. God sees it very differently. Wisdom is better than strength. Bible says wisdom is better than weapons of war. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard, not in this season. Now, let's break this down. In the manifold wisdom of God, this man was not poor at all. Back up one verse. Says he'll find a poor wise man. Now, let's forget the physical aspect before. Let's read the Bible is a spiritual book. What is he saying? He says there was a found in a city that had been besieged, that was under siege by a king or a prince, the prince of the power of the air. And had taken over the city. Said bulwarks against it. But inside was a poor wise man. That's almost a paradox. But he's not talking about finances only. He's talking about poorness in spirit. Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, he said, blessed, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So it is those who are poor in spirit who have the wisdom of the kingdom of God, being in that place of perfection and fullness, that God will channel the wisdom to demonstrate to principalities and powers and to deliver the cities of the earth. Both the church and physical cities. It takes wisdom, not only power, but wisdom and power. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but wisdom with better weapons of war is best. Can you see why John the Baptist was so great now? That's where it all begins. That's where the foundation is laid for the deliverances that are going to take place. That's where the foundation is laid for the wisdom of the just that you use to deliver. Deliver the city. Bring Rasoko. Now, let me now get back to physical. This man was poor. They say the poor man's wisdom is despised, which is true. You have all the wisdom of the world. You don't have this thing that the men see. Ego, thank you. They will look at you and say, they will take your wisdom and use it too. I remember many years ago, a group of Christians got together a plan to start off the first GSM company in Nigeria. A group of Christians got together a plan. They did hours and hours of research. They put against a great plan. Everything was laid out. Ah, fantastic. Beautifully done. And I went took the plan all laid out and brought it towards a big banker. We'll keep his name quiet. And the guy looked at it and he went somewhere there. Said, boss, this thing, you know, let's just sit on it for now. But you know, everything in that booklet came out and started as the first GSM company in this country. Till today, that company is in big trouble. Till today, they're having problems. They took somebody's, he said, poor man's wisdom. Poor man's wisdom. But he used the wisdom. They didn't give him. The man that put it all together, didn't give anything. Just put in one and you all stay there. But in this day, it's not going to be so. Because the poor man here will be poor in the spirit. He will have the power of the kingdom. And also God will deck him with unprecedented riches. The riches of the kingdom. That when he speaks, everybody will listen. All the kings and princes of the earth will listen. Hello, somebody. Let's go to Joseph. When Joseph came out of prison, he had nothing. The pastor said, all he had was the wisdom and the words that God gave him to speak. But the moment Pharaoh heard it, he knew this is the man. And so that they would no longer despise Joseph. Because, you know, if he had left and come back to prison, that would have been the end. Pharaoh said, oh yeah, you take. Oh yeah, you sit on top of that kingdom. And you have great wealth because everything you're going to do now, you're going to need that wealth. So when your wisdom comes out, because you are now rich in goods and in whatever, all the riches of Egypt, everybody will listen to you. That's what God is doing. That's what God will do. So you have the wisdom. God will give you the riches. God will also give you the power. You're going to be a formidable force. Nobody will be able to gainsay nor resist. God says, God will give you a mouth and wisdom that your adversaries cannot resist. Hello, somebody. We're in that season, folks. The Bible says the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. Now, let me finish. I believe that God left us his example of John the Baptist, who did no miracles, in conjunction with the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did do great miracles. But, you know, even the Lord Jesus, think about it. Before he did one, God is making a point. Before he did one single miracle, he was at John the Baptist in the River Jordan being baptized. The heavens opened. The Spirit lighted upon him. And the Lord said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. At that point, it was exactly John the Baptist. He had done no miracle. It wasn't 2 weeks later. So Jesus did no miracle. just like John did no miracle. But what was supposed to happen is that John was supposed to step out of being JTB and being JTB with miracles along with the Christ. But he missed his opportunity. You will not miss your opportunity in Jesus' name. You will not miss the day of your calling in Jesus' name. But we're saying this. Why are we saying all this? Folks, we want to bring an end to this adulterous, sign-seeking generation. And don't say it can't happen to you. So, like the person who saw that place being cordoned off. I say, is it God? Is that God? And he was impressed. He must have been impressed. Or you see something happen in the life. Not, they didn't tell you. You saw it happen live and direct. You think that's a great power of God. Until a greater power comes. That's as great as you and he that's in the world. Folks, we're going to do these greater miracles than the Lord did. Well, let's first develop and perfect the love of God. We all know that what we do by the blood, the word, and the spirit, constantly perfecting that love. And like I said, love has three parts: wisdom, compassion, and power. Power always follows love, always follows wisdom and compassion in perfect love. So perfect love, you have the wisdom and you have the power also in attendance whenever you need it. For faith, the Bible says, works by love. So anything you want to do, Jesus' faith was like miracles, the pastor said. Miracles were breaking out because his faith had come to the point where anything he wanted to do, because he has the wisdom and the compassion under God, the power will always follow him. Don't seek signs. Seek God. And the Lord will give you signs and wonders. May the Lord grant you understanding. John did no miracle. And Lord, have mercy on us in Jesus' name. I trust you to get something out of this. The lesson is very simple. Stay where God has put you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things like power, like miracles of healing, signs and wonders, the spirit without measure, the mind of Christ, all these marvelous things which are about to be manifest. All these will be added. For the great prize is the prize of perfecting the love of God and the wisdom of God that is in love in our hearts. And it's by that wisdom that we're going to deliver. Power is important. Power is good. But this is a manifestation of God's wisdom to principalities and powers. Aided by an abundance of miracles. Let's ask the Lord to help us. And trust the message has come to us as it was supposed to. Speak to the Lord. Oh Lord, have mercy. Just to be close to you is where I want to live. I now hide myself inside your heart and find my destiny. Every step I'll take is one less step on me. Just to be close. now respond to the word that has come this afternoon, the Lord helping us. Put a hand upon your heart. Raise a hand up unto the Lord as we pray. Say, Father, we confess our sins. So we clean with the blood of Jesus. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word to me this afternoon, reminding me that John the Baptist, the greatest prophet of all time, until the Lord Jesus, did no miracle. I understand that in this season of the manifestation of the Spirit without measure, that I will do miracles. I will do signs and wonders by the unction and the power of the Spirit, the borrowed anointing, and the Spirit without measure that will be upon me. I understand all this, but I also understand that you have a deeper priority, and that is to perfect the love of God by the blood, by the word, and by the Spirit, that you are more important. It is more important to you for us to change hearts by the power of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, Lord God. So I understand all this. I'm asking you for mercy to be faithful to this. I hide myself under your, in your heart, in your love, in the secret place that you have prepared for me to grow, to increase, and to come to the fullness of Christ. I understand all this. And so, Lord, I will not be moved by miracles and signs and wonders, but I will stay in my place of appointment until the time appointed of the Father. Help me, Lord, to do all this, so that in this day, the power of miracles will follow, Lord God, the wisdom and the compassion that is in perfect love in my life. And Lord, in this season, you will deliver the nations of the earth by the abundance of your wisdom demonstrated through me to principalities and powers. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in tongues. Plumsa, plumsa, kampisho, krako, shetekara. Rembera ma bisara kuranga, rembera ma basakro, rambio perele mekesa, rimbalaya kanzoro kedangala, rembera ma ma bakazankali, rembero ma son dere lo bagabai, rendo bruko bagalai, rembero ma no bagadara kuro mea pompasa, rambale sendolo, vava mele zenkiri, rembilo sere la baba bakai, rembero ma so kompa, pire lontaka, nero ma serembiri da, rembido, shente ne ma kuala, rambali bidu kubai, rembili bidu mbriaka, Andare con ton cacco, rendere sentire, rendere mendolo mago, mandala cacco lo cu cacco con piste ton ton ta, rendera, rendera un calon serere, rendere a casa un palomere, rendere salon se che ton cara, rambara perché ti hanno ascolto lì. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's now pray for certain our healing and health. Let's put a hand over our hearts or our body, wherever you want the healing and health. If you don't have a particular place, put it up on your forehead so the power will flow throughout your body. And raise your hand up unto the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. In Jesus, say, Father, we confess our sins. So we clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, that tells us that himself, the word, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And because himself, the word, took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, sickness has no legal right in this my body. And so by faith, I draw upon now the healing power that was wrought in Christ when he was raised from the dead. I cause that healing power now, under the covering of my fathers, to flow into my physical body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, into every part of my physical body, my lungs, my heart, my brain, my liver, all my internal organs, my circulatory system, all the cells within every part of my body, and into the DNA within every cell. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak to my body. I say, you function as you were designed to function in the name of Jesus. We say, DNA in every cell, no more errors. You function perfectly, optimally, as the Lord designed you to function in the name of Jesus. And therefore, by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life, and power, I am healed We are healed and we live in divine healing and health. We keep the laws of hygiene, of natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Pray fervently. In Jesus' name, let's join hands with someone as we close. Father, we confess our sins. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. As we're under the covering of our fathers of the house, we say the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face shine upon us. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes his head and not tail, above only and not beneath. We prosper in all that we set our hands to do. We are at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, the perfection, and the fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. And so the Lord anoints us with the anointings and mantles of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Speak to him and say, you follow after the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.